Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey everybody, my name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rocks Church. Let me take this opportunity to personally welcome you to our church. I want to welcome those of you who are here in person, who are new, who are here for the first time, and also those of us joining us online through YouTube and podcasts and Spotify. Thanks for joining in as well. Well, as you may have heard from the outside, you know, people talking, and from Chloe up here on the stage, we are in the second week of our Be Rich campaign. And if this is your first time coming to The Rocks, let me tell you, you picked a great Sunday to come, because today you get to see our faith in action. You know, a lot of times churches are known for what we are against. And today, the whole Be Rich campaign that we're doing, hopefully will show you that churches are not just known for what we are against, but we want to be known for what we are for, that we are for the community, that we are for the people around us, we are for love, we are for giving, we are for sharing, and we are for all of that. And I can't be more excited than today, because today we're going to announce the results of what we've done last year as a community of faith in this place. But for the sake of those who are new to Be Rich, I want to explain to you what it's all about and why we call it Be Rich. It's actually taken from a verse in the Bible where the Apostle Paul wrote to his young protege Timothy, who was pastoring a church in Ephesus, and this is what Paul instructed Timothy to do. He said, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." See, it's not just important for you to get rich. Actually, you can go to a lot of churches that will tell you how you can get rich. But Paul says, being rich is not about what you have, but being rich is about what you do with what you have. You see, maybe many of us think, oh, we're not rich, you know, we don't have enough for ourselves. But no, it's not about that. It's about what you do with what you have. And Paul says, every single one of us can be rich in good deeds, in generosity, and in our willingness to share. And that's what we want to learn to do as a faith community in this place. We want to learn how we can be rich with our life. You know, we are one of 77 churches around the world that participate in Be Rich. More than 250 not-for-profit organizations are going to benefit from all of our generosity, and more than 100,000 people, from the video at the beginning, more than 120,000 people are going to participate in Be Rich this year, including the however many of us here in Perth, the only church in Australia that participate in Be Rich, and I'm so proud of that fact. You know why? Because from the very beginning, when our church first started, we wanted to start a church that has the outside as our focus. We don't want to focus on ourselves. We don't want to focus on just the Christians. We believe the church exists for people who are not yet inside the church. Jesus came not just for the Christians. Jesus came for everybody. And I believe the church, as the body of Christ, we have to be here for everybody. So we have always been outward focused in our approach right from the very beginning. And we know that our existence in our community should make an impact. But we ask ourselves this question: how can we make the most impact to our community? I know the different options that we can take. A lot of churches do, you know, soup kitchen or op shop or things that we believe we can do. And I have no doubt that we can do all that. But we decided, you know, before we start anything new, we want to ask ourselves this question: what about the amazing organizations around us who are doing it so well? Organizations that are rock stars in what they do. They're knocking it out of the park, to use the baseball example. So we decided right from the beginning that The Rocks, we want to partner with these amazing organizations. We don't want to compete with them. We want to support them. We want to champion them, because they are our partners and we are their partner. You know, we're not in competition with one another. So we decided that we're not going to replicate what these great organizations do, but instead we're just going to support them in any way that we can. So throughout the years, we have partnered with all these amazing organizations, Sunshine FM, Compassion Australia, Mana, Prison Fellowship, the school around us at Fusion, and this year, new to our partnership is Pindari House. And I'm telling you, I can't be more excited as we continue this ongoing partnerships with these amazing, amazing organizations. All right? So the focus last week as we started our Be Rich campaign, the call to action is to give. Okay? And this is what we said last Sunday. We said, we're going to ask every single one of you, 100% of you. We have this target of 100% participation. We don't have a monetary target, but we have a participation target. We ask 100% of you to give $50 per person, and we promise to give everything away. I'm talking about every single cent. All right. Last year, you know, even though we didn't have a target, but I was aiming pretty low because it was the first year that we did it last year. So I said, if you could get $10,000, that would be fantastic. You know, on a single Sunday, if you can get $10,000, it would be fantastic. And instead, last year, we got, about $24,000, which was amazing. And this year, I don't know, you know, I'm a bit scared when it comes to target. And, you know, economy is still pretty bad in WA. But I have confidence in all of you. I have confidence in our generosity because we are a generous church. But I leave the result to God. So on Saturday, because I know some of the people were not here on Sunday, so we gave people who were not here an opportunity to give as well. So on Saturday, Mary, our finance manager, told me the final results of what you gave last Sunday, and this is the result. Are you ready? Yeah. Collectively, as the body of Christ, in one Sunday, you give $30,043.81. Isn't that amazing? That's in one single Sunday, I'm telling you. I know I can always count on the generosity of our people. And I'm not just saying this, but what we do really is going to be a game changer for these amazing organizations, right? It's not just the money, but the fact that there is another organization that believe in what they do and support them in a major way like this, I'm telling you, it's going to be mind-blowing for them. So that was last week. And this week, the call to action is to serve, And again, like last week, I'm asking for 100% participation from all of you. And I'm so excited at what God is going to do, not just in these amazing organizations and the people that they serve, but I'm excited to see what God is going to do in your life as you make yourself available to be used by God to make a difference in people's lives, all right? But before we continue, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer one more time as we ask God to lead our time together. Father in heaven, we are blown away by you because you are a generous God. You are an amazing God. And God, you do amazing things in and through our lives. And God, I just am so happy to see your work in this church and through this church. And I thank you, Lord, for the generosity of our people. And I pray, Father, that this generosity will continue, not just in our giving, but it will continue in our action as well. So lead us in our time this morning. We pray and ask you this in Jesus' name. If you agree with me, say amen. 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 All right. I want to start today's short devotional because we got a lot of things to do. I want to start with a bit of a downer. I apologize for those of you who come to church, you know, with all the great songs that we're singing, with all these amazing videos that we've seen. So I want to start with a bit of a downer. And the downer is this. Everybody in this world suffers. Everybody. There's no exception. If you have not already suffered in the past, you might be suffering right now. If you're not suffering right now, maybe you will suffer in the future. But let me tell you, everybody suffers. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. Every single person in this world suffers. I know a lot of organizations, a lot of religions churches included, you know, we try to get people to believe in our faith. We try to get people to come to our church, and we try to offer them this amazing solution to our problems. You know, if you do this, then you will have a better life. If you do that, then, you know, all your problems will go away. And that's why a lot of faith preachers, a lot of television evangelists, you know, they are very, very successful because they sell this solution to the world problem that we all face in our lives. But I like to begin by quoting from this amazing work of art, one of the greatest movies of all time, The Princess Bride. And it says this: life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something. Anyone who says differently is selling something. And it's so true, isn't it? And I'm telling you, at this church, we're not going to sell you anything. The gospel is not trying to sell you anything. Jesus never tried to sell anyone anything. In fact, if you know Jesus, you know his prophecy. His prophecy, nobody likes to hear it, nobody likes to quote it, but in one of his statements, Jesus says this: in this world, you will have trouble. It's not a maybe. It's not hopefully not. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, in this one simple statement, Jesus says two polar opposite things, if you like. You know, on the one hand, he guarantees you, in this world, you will have trouble. What kind of trouble? Any kind of trouble. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual, it could be attacks, it could be sickness, it could be disaster, it could be anything. In this world, you will have trouble. But on the other hand, Jesus says, take heart. I want you to be encouraged. Why? Because I have overcome the world. In theology, we call this already but not yet. One thing you have to understand is that this world is the world that is full of sin. And the effect of sin is all around us. Tim Keller, one of my favorite pastors out of New York, says this. And I'm telling you, this is worth coming to church for. For those of you who are struggling right now, for those of you who are experiencing pain, I'm telling you, this one simple statement from Tim Keller might just be the very thing that you needed to hear as you go through your pain. Tim Keller says this: expectations are a big part of how you handle suffering. Expectations are a big part of how you handle suffering. Isn't that true? A lot of us expect things to go well as a default, you know, things that will happen in our life. You know, everything should go well. You know, we expect it. We want it. And there's nothing wrong with wanting it, right? But one thing you have to realize is that this world that we live in, is a world that is filled with sin. I would like to expand what Tim Keller says by saying this. This is what he's trying to say, and I think this will help you as well. Don't expect life in a fallen world to be perfect. You cannot expect that. If you want to go through life with victory, if you want to go through life not experiencing, you know, the ups and downs of life, don't expect life in a fallen world to be perfect. Expect things will go wrong and will be unfair and whatever it is. That's why Jesus came to our world, to make things right, if not now, in the world to come. Jesus already set the wheel in motion 2,000 years ago when he defeated death on the cross. For those of you who are new to Christianity, let me tell you, the amazing thing about Christianity is not about, you know, the moral codes and all that, but Jesus came to our world to free us from the penalty of our sins and the power of sin in our lives. And Jesus did that for you just out of his goodness, out of his grace, out of his love for you and for me. So Christianity is about believing in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's not about doing good works. It's not about going to church, but about believing what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And when you believe what Jesus has done for you on the cross, not only will you have eternal life, but you will realize that you have this power from within you. The Holy Spirit who lives in you will help you to go through this sinful world that we live in. From time to time, you will see miracles. From time to time, you know, you will have answered prayer. You know, I'm not saying that when God doesn't answer your prayer, it doesn't mean He doesn't care. No, there are many, many reasons why God, in His divine wisdom, chooses not to answer our prayers. A lot of times, we don't even know what we're asking. How many of us have prayed for something and we got angry at God for not answering our prayers? And then moving forward, we look back, oh, I'm so glad God didn't answer that prayer. You know, we don't know what we're asking God sometimes. So be encouraged. Have the right expectation in this world. In fact, I will say this. When you have this attitude, when you have this expectation that things will go wrong, that things will be unfair. So when things go right in your life, thank God for it. Be grateful. Don't just assume that it should go this way. You know, God is good in your life. Thank Him. Praise Him. You know, tell the good news about the great things God is doing in your life, because that's not automatic. Do you know that? It is by grace. It is by His grace that we are who we are today. So this is very, very important. So let me ask you this question. How do you respond to suffering in your life? You might be thinking, like, what does this have to do with serving? You know, people don't serve for many different reasons. And one of the reasons why people don't serve is because they don't feel like they qualify. They feel like, you know, I have enough problem in my life. You know, I can't see myself doing something for somebody else. You know, I need to get through this pain in my life first. I need to go through this problem in my life first. Then, you know, when I come out on the other side, maybe if I can, then I'll start helping others. But it is important how you respond to suffering. I believe there's a reason for your suffering. I don't believe it's random. I believe the good, almighty, powerful, sovereign God knows what's going on in your life. There's a reason for everything, all right? I want to show you this amazing, amazing testimony from this couple in America. Without giving away too much of the story, I'm going to let them to explain their story for themselves, and I'm going to come back as we conclude our time together, how their life story can be your life story as well. So let's enjoy this.
I have a paralyzed face. I'm deaf in one ear. I have terrible double vision, and my eyes don't track, and I can't see well. I'm obviously in the wheelchair, and I can't walk. And life in this body is not easy, per se. So I went to Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, which is a wonderful Christian school in the Deep South, and I loved it. And I met my future husband there, and we got married shortly after graduating and decided to just pack up and have this crazy adventure in California. From Alabama, that doesn't happen too much.
And so we moved on this great adventure from the South to Los Angeles, you know, this crazy city of angels and dreams and all these sort of hopes for our future.
I was doing some modeling at the time, and he was accepted to Pepperdine Law School. And so we moved, and we went 2,500 miles to the other coast and began our lives.
Fast forward a little bit, I was doing law school. We were just soaking up life in this dynamic and exciting city. We had a baby named James, who was born the last year I was in law school. You know, like many of you in different transitional seasons of your life, you know, we had all these hopes and these ideas of what our future was going to look like. You know, I was going to be an attorney, and we were going to move on to this new phase of our story with this new baby who was 6 months old, and it was just this hopeful, exciting time.
It is for James.
It is James. Here's our little gift.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Oh,
I'm still emotional. I'm not pregnant anymore.
Family. So we're hoping everyone will race with their sparkler outside and let it off in our honor open. So everybody, if you have a sparkler, go outside.
And it was just a totally normal day. I had my sweet baby in the next room napping, and I hit the ground. My hands and legs went numb. My husband was thankfully there to call 911, and they quickly came and took me away on the stretcher. I was born with a little defect in my brain called an AVM, an arterial venous malformation. And sometimes they rupture, they blow up, and mine did.
It felt like everything was falling apart. And I remember hurriedly calling the ambulance. We had no idea what was going on. This was completely out of the blue. There was no symptoms. We had no idea that she had actually been born with this thing that was now exploding in her brain. But I remember she was rushed to the hospital, and we kind of grabbed a toothbrush thinking maybe we'll just be there overnight. And yet in that moment, I knew that maybe today was the day that I was going to experience that storm.
And from there, I would have radical brain surgery, micro brain surgery for 16 hours, where they didn't know if I would live afterwards. And miraculously, I did live. And the surgeon told my family that there would be deficits, but that I had lived. And for my sweet husband, that was enough to give him some hope for that moment.
The surgeon came out and was exhausted looking, and he said, "She's alive, and it's a miracle, but we don't know if she's ever going to wake up." And yet in that moment, there was this gift of hope. And hope, I think, like so many gifts from God, doesn't make sense given the circumstances.
I would stay in the initial ICU phase for 40 days. From there, I would go to acute rehab, another part of the hospital, for 2.5 months. From there, I would go to a brain rehab center for another year and a half.
About 2 years after the stroke, we were finally able to move back home to this new reality. And the thing is, you can't ever go back once you've gone sort of through the way of suffering. I think we wanted to sort of slip back in the back door and pretend like nothing had changed, but the reality is we were different people now.
Initially, one of the most horrible, difficult things was that I wasn't able to eat food. So I went for over 11 months with no food. It's called NPO, nothing per oral. So they fed me through a tube in my stomach. My sweet husband would pour liquid and feed me through a tube daily because my swallow muscles were messed up and I couldn't swallow. Even more than the food thing and the relearning to walk thing and the paralyzed face thing and all these really just tough stuff, I had a baby. I had a 6-month-old when this happened. So you can imagine the terrible adjustment for me to realize that I could no longer mother my child.
It was sort of this wilderness period, it felt like, and God was saying, "Hold on. Just because I'm silent doesn't mean I'm not here. Doesn't mean I've abandoned you. Keep persevering. Keep leaning in to this journey that I'm taking you on. Catherine is still here for a reason."
I wondered if God had made a mistake by leaving me on earth. I was so caught between life and death that I wasn't dead, but I wasn't really alive with a working body either. And I think I rationalized, like, surely God wouldn't have wanted me here like this. I really should just die because this this doesn't work. I don't want to do life like this. And God really spoke into that moment of despair. Through the awakening of the scriptures that I'd known since I was a small child, I, above all, knew that Ephesians 4:1 is true, that now I must live a life worthy of the special calling I've received. I had to be about what does it look like to suffer potentially lifelong well? How can I re-narrate the lie that only truly the best looking and the wealthy and the put together and the perfect able-bodied person is the only acceptable standard? All of us have suffered. All of us have had terrible, hard things, or if we haven't yet, we will. What I have been able to do that is so critical for all of us is to adjust after whatever trauma we've gone through, and not just to be resilient and get back to the baseline, but to really grow from the horrible things that happened to us and really choose to cling to Jesus in them and to show this messed up world what it means to be about the tough stuff.
To suffer well, to weep well, to hope well. We're on the journey with you, friends. No matter what pain God has allowed in your life, no matter what joys He's allowed in your life, He's calling you to give those away to people who need it, and in the giving, that people would know the God of all comfort and the God of all hope.
I am healed. And that sounds crazy, because look at me. No, I'm not. Well, physically, maybe not, but thankfully, we are not just dealing in the physical situation. There is so much more at work here. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about that we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed day after day, for our light and momentary trials are achieving for us a glory that cannot be revealed. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
And that's the journey that we've been on. A journey of not just sort of taking this comfort and this hope for ourselves so that we feel better about our lives and we feel comforted, but actually being sort of this conduit, this vessel for hope. That's something so precious that we want to give it away to a world that is full of despair, that is in so much need and in so much pain, and say that there's hope. This isn't the end of the story, and that the end of the story is that Christ has overcome, that we can found our lives on something that is transcendent no matter the storms that come.
When I'm just concentrating on what is right in front of me, my story, my life, things are awesome. I can do it well, and that's really my challenge to you is live your story well. Don't waste the pain that you've had. Instead, use it. Suffer well, whatever that looks like for you. Don't wait till things are perfect to start engaging this world. God is with us, and He's not leaving. His power is made perfect in our weakness. So we can boast in that. We can do our lives. We can show up in that. My name is Catherine Wolf.
My name is Jay Wolf. This is the truth.
And I dare you to live it. Wow.
So Catherine and Jay Wolf, having been renewed in the spirit by God through all their suffering, they created this amazing organization called Hope Heals, where they do camps for families with disabled family members. And a lot of people came to know God as a result of that camp. A lot of families are put back together. And it's just an amazing organization. It's one of the organizations that you can serve in through our, through Be Rich campaign if you live in Atlanta, Georgia. All right? But they are one of the amazing organizations that we support. When I say we, I mean all the Be Rich churches that are doing this all throughout the world. But as we conclude our time together, let me remind you of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. None of us is exempt from trouble, from suffering. Paul asked the Lord, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. You know, although, she said, outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed. You know, this temporary problem that we're in is just that. It's just temporary. One day, listen to what God says in the book of Revelation. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, sorrow, or crying, or pain. And all these things are gone forever. But until that happens, let me tell you this. This is what he said. If I could summarize what he said, our suffering is not without a purpose, right? Ephesians 4:1, there's a special calling that God has given to every single one of us. That calling is not reserved just for the perfect, just for the strong, but for every single person, including those who are going through suffering. So I want to explain to you what you can do to our two great ministry partners, Fusion and Pindari. But I want to show you this one video to encourage you, to motivate you that this is an amazing thing that we do as a church.
Our community is a great place to call home, and our nonprofit partners are a big part of that. The work they do makes a difference, and we get to come alongside them and make an even bigger difference together. Our goal during Be Rich is for each one of us to serve with one nonprofit partner. And we've made that as simple as we know how. Just go to berich.org to register for a service project with one of our nonprofit partners, or you can serve with another nonprofit in our community. If you do, don't forget to log your hours at berich.org so we can celebrate your participation too. If each one of us at all our participating churches serves just 1 hour, we'll flood our communities, our non-profit partners, and those they help with over 100,000 hours. That's like you working full-time for almost 50 years. By everyone doing a little, we can do a lot. But it's more than hours and days and years. Your involvement will show our partners and those they serve just how valuable we think they are. This is our opportunity to give, to serve, to love, to be rich.
Again, our goal is 100% participation, and this is how you can do it, all right? I have a few minutes left. I'm going to explain this to you. Volunteering starts on 23rd of November until 25th of January. So you got 2 months to volunteer during Be Rich. You can serve as much as you want or as little as you want. But you do need to start planning now to serve either by yourself, with your small group, with your family, or with your friends. You can go to www.therocks.info or berich.org, but you know, I know a lot of people can't remember that. The easiest way to do it is to just go to therocks.info to sign up, and you will be led to the berich.org website, right? Some of the volunteering opportunities may require you to have a working with children check or police clearance to volunteer, but you will know it when you sign up. You will know it when you register. And you will receive confirmation email from Be Rich about your registration. So this is how you do it. When you go to www.therocks.info, you will be taken to this website, berich.org, all right? Don't forget to make sure you click The Rocks Church on the top right-hand corner. There will be a selection, a pull-down menu. Otherwise, you'll be serving somewhere else in another part of the world. So make sure it says The Rock Church. And as you scroll down, you will see this, serve. We don't give anymore because that's last week. So press or click serve, And then you'll be taken to this page where you can register to serve, all right? So either at the top or at the bottom. But if you choose to serve with some other not-for-profit organizations, we want to know it as well. In that case, you can press this one, the bottom right, to log your hours, okay? But if you serve with our ministry partners, you don't have to do that. And then, when you sign up, you'll be taken to this page where you can select your project. If you scroll down, you see the Rocks Church. If you scroll down, you will see all these different projects, okay? There's a plus sign on the right-hand side. Click on the plus sign, and that's where you can register. There'll be a bit of explanation as to what that opportunity is all about. And again, I want to explain this to you. A few different opportunities this year. For Pindari, you can be a part of a peer group that gives the men at Pindari House a strong social network and a safe relational connection. And you can join the men's group at Pindari House. Or you can join their Busy Bee. Have a great time outdoors while you help clean, tidy the beautiful land that surrounds the Pindari House facility. There will be tasks aimed at all kinds of skill levels and ability. So you just need a willing hand. Maybe you can have lunch together. Children 14 or older are permitted to participate as well. So that's for Pindari. One more for Pindari. Frozen food pack preparation. I know some of you will love this. Since the men at Pindari House are away from their homes, we would like to provide them with a nice home-cooked meal to show we care. So place healthy, delicious food in meal-sized containers and freeze them. Drop them off at the Rocks Church Cafe starting Sunday the 24th of November and ending Sunday the 19th of January between 9 and 6 p.m. All right, you can do that and then drop the meal every Sunday. For Fusion, you can help the staff by becoming a relief staff. Hang out with the teenagers at the Fusion House with your friends, family, small group. You can bring food and games if you like, basically just to supervise them. You can also help with the Christmas event preparation. There will be opportunity for you to do food prep, to do setup, and also to do backup as well. Okay? And for the brave souls, you can be driving teachers. Okay, help teach a young person how to drive. Some don't have received professional driving lessons, but don't have a means of practicing. So you could use your car or arrange a car to be available. These are the different opportunities that are available for you. And one final video to show you as we close our time together. This is one such life change that happened through Fusion.
Hey everyone, we're here today with Ali, who's going to share a little bit of her life story about her experience here with Fusion Australia. So Ali, what was your life like before you came into Fusion?
My life before I came to Fusion, it was interesting. My father sexually abused me since the day we got the hospital until I was 7 when we went into foster care. They had a lot of strict rules and I didn't really like foster care. We moved around a lot and went to different schools. And then when I was 7 and a half, we moved to Fusion.
And how did you find out about Fusion, Ali?
I found out about Fusion from my DCP case manager. When I found out about them, I was terrified of coming here because I didn't know anyone. Fusion has changed my life in many ways. When I first came to Fusion, I was a very shy person and I would never talk about how I was feeling. I also would never trust anyone and tend to push people away a lot. But I've had people around me who've just supported me and believed in me. They make you feel like you're part of people. It's like part of a family.
So Ali, tell us about how your faith impacts your life now.
It's made an impact on my life because I've got engaged in things like youth group, children's church, Bible studies. We do Christian things in case managing occasionally. It's also been a big part of making sure he comes first at all times.
Great, thank you so much for sharing, Ali. It's such a privilege to hear your journey of how you came in contact with Fusion and just the progress and the transformation that you've encountered here. And it's so amazing to hear your testimony. So thank you so much for sharing with us here today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.